And the responsibility. Tonight we're going to be looking at the life of the Apostle Paul and five characteristics of the of a church leader, continuing to look at that subject. So the Lord's timing is always perfect, and we look forward to what the Lord has for each of us as we study His Word together. Turning back once again to Ephesians chapter 4, we have been looking at the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. We know that it is to be done in love, the very last verse that we read there, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that without love we are nothing. Everything must be done in love. We must love one another even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. We must love one another so that the world may know that we are Christians and that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Edifying of the body in love. First of all, in order to build a church, you have to equip the church with the workers and the materials. And God, through the Son, Jesus Christ, gave gifted men to the church. In today's world, specifically evangelists and then pastors, teachers, to equip the saints, give them the information, the tools from the Word of God and prayer to edify the church. And then the performing of that work is done by the saints, we saw in verse 12, for the perfecting or the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. The saints must not grow weary in the work. They must walk worthy of the vocation, verse 1. God has called us into this work. Each one of us are a part of that work. And so we must each work together in unity and love and in a way that would be worthy of the calling. It is a high calling to be called into the work of God. And the saints must be faithful in performing the work of the ministry. The Apostle Paul said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God's looking for faithfulness, not necessarily success, not necessarily a job done the way we think man would expect it to be done, but a job that is done faithfully with all that God has given us, the grace that we need and the spiritual gifts to do that work, that we do that faithfully. And then the saints should be always abounding, going beyond, growing, not staying stagnant, but continuing to grow and continuing to multiply and continuing to glorify God. That's the performing of the work of the ministry. And then we need to build the body through ministry, service. How do we serve one another? Service is the goal of God's plan, that we all be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has called us into His body, not just so He could give us eternal life or a fire protection from hell, but so that we could be involved in the work of His building the church. We could help lay the groundwork and put the blocks in place by seeing souls come to the Lord Jesus Christ and then discipling them so that they will go out and win others and disciple them. And so it is the goal of God's plan that we be servants ministering in the body, and that is the product of God's gifts. And we call that the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry. Today we're going to be looking at how to achieve the goals of the ministry. In verse 13, and there are three there. Three goals that God would have for us to attend to achieve if we are going to be edifying the body in love. First of all, we need to come into the unity of the faith. And then we need to come into the knowledge of the Son of God, or we need to grow and continue to increase in the knowledge of the Son of God. And then the last looks like two phrases in the King James Bible, but it's really one phrase put together with a comma, unto a perfect man. That word perfect, different from the one in verse 12, has to do with complete or mature. until we become a mature person in Christ, complete, having everything we need in order to minister in the body. And also you would describe that as being measured up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, being everything that we can be for Christ. All that we need to be in order for Christ to use us as He plans to use us, as He desires to use us. And that requires continuous, constant growing in Christ, continuous, constantly surrendering to the Holy Spirit or yielding to the Holy Spirit's control of our life, and constantly and continuously being sanctified, being set apart from the world, and set apart unto God for service. So, three areas there that we're going to look at. But before we get into those, and I'm just going to briefly describe them this morning, because as I was studying through this again early this week, and I was thinking about this work of the ministry in verse 12, how all the saints are to be involved in the work of the ministry. We emphasized that last week. And it suddenly dawned on me. You know, we talk about this problem in the church that exists today, the local churches in America, the church around the world. One way that they state the problem is that in most churches, you have about 15% of the body of Christ in a local church doing 100% of the work. And that means that 85% really aren't involved. They're just occupying a pew, and hopefully they're at least occupying a pew. Today's church, they're becoming absent from the pews, but they still consider themselves part of the church. But about 15% of the church people in the world do 100% of the work of the ministry, the work that is required in keeping a church moving, keeping a church going, keeping a church growing. Just necessary things. Some things are humble things. Some things are really service when you get down to it. We're going to talk about people who take the trash out, people who do the cleaning, people who take care of the outside yard work and things like that. This is all part of the work of the church. Now, I wanted to say, and let me back up just a moment and say this, because I think to the credit of our church, I think we are better than the statistics. I think we have better than 15% involvement. I really do. I think we have a church that is very actively involved in the work of the ministry. But still, it occurred to me that there's a lot of people, I don't really know what they're doing. They may be praying behind the scenes, and that's an unseen work that we don't know whether it's going on or not. Hopefully, prayerfully it is. But there still may be people occupying pews that are sitting there wondering, well, you know, they might be thinking, I would like to do something, but I don't know what to do. I don't, you know, nobody's asked me to do anything, and I don't really know what my spiritual gift is. I know what I'm capable. Let me give you a little clue, okay? I had a professor in Bible college. We were talking about this in one of our classes, and this, I don't know how I remember this, has been 30 years ago, but we were talking about the use of spiritual gifts and people in the local bodies of Christ, the local churches being involved and using their spiritual gifts and wondering, you know, how do I find out what my spiritual gift is? How do I find out what I could do? How can I be involved in the church? And I'll never forget this. He said, look for the I can do that. I can do that. In other words, when you hear somebody, at either the pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a board member, saying, you know, we really need somebody to, and they list something or name something, and the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart's door and you're saying to yourself, I could do that. There's your clue. There's your clue. I can do that. Somebody might, or maybe nobody says anything. And that's what happens most often. There are jobs that need to be done, and you know, nobody thinks to say, you know, we need somebody to do this. But you're looking around and you see things that could be done. You see things that should be done. And the Holy Spirit knocks on your door and says, I could do that. I could do that. There's your clue. Do it. Another professor put it a little bit differently, but also the same principle, talking about open doors. We've been talking about an open door of opportunity to witness, especially on Wednesday nights. We're talking about praying in the area of missions here lately. And, you know, we talked about the open door of Philadelphia, where God says, behold, I have given you an open door which no man can close. This professor said, you know, if you're looking for something to do, if you're looking for a ministry, some way that you can serve the body of Christ, begin praying that God would simply open a door, give you an opportunity, show you something that can be done. And if you feel that, again, you can do that with God's help, you know, when I first went into the pastorate, many, many years ago, was when I was being interviewed by the very first pulpit committee over in West Virginia. The first question they asked me, I was sitting down, I'd already preached, I had already candidated a few weeks, and the congregation was ready to vote, and the church board or the pulpit committee decided to sit down and ask me some questions. And the first question they asked me, They said, you're a fairly young man. I was 33 at the time. And they said, you've never had a church. You've never pastored a church before. I said, do you think you can do this? And I looked right at that man and I said, no, I don't. I don't think I can do this. But with God's help, I'll sure try. Because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. And I felt God was calling me to that, and I was scared to death. Because I honestly thought, I am going to, you know, this is going to be the hardest thing I ever did in my life. And I was right. It was. And it is. It still is. But with God's help, I can do that. I can do that. And so God opened the door. And this professor said, when God opens a door, you go through that door and trust Him to close it if it's not His will. I've tried to go through some doors that appeared to be open. You can ask my wife. We've made some dumb mistakes in our life. We have gone into ministries that we had no business getting involved in. And almost immediately, as soon as we walked through that door, we knew, whoops, we are way out of our league here. And we had to eat humble pie and back out of a couple of things. But God showed us some lessons. He taught us some things by attempting to go through doors that we thought we were open. So don't worry. If you walk through a door that appears to be open and it's not God's will, He'll gently close it and redirect you. And He's faithful to do that. So I was thinking about this idea of the work of the ministry and all the people that may be sitting here today and sitting in our church and sitting in pews thinking, boy, I would love to be involved. I'd like to do something. I just don't know what I can do. And I was sitting at my desk and all of a sudden jobs started popping into my mind. A lot of things that I'm doing as a pastor that I shouldn't be doing. Shame on me. Not that I'm not willing to do things and not willing to be a servant. That's one of my weaknesses. I see something that needs to be done, I'm one of those guys that would rather do it than ask somebody else to do it. That's just a weakness I have. But the Bible clearly tells me, and we've been teaching this and preaching this here, that the job of the pastor teacher is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And all of us need to be involved. And so I ran this by the board. I wasn't going to just pop this on you without getting the board's input on it. And I appreciate some things. We made some changes in this even after I put it together originally, and it's been revised a couple of times just this week. And I decided to put together a job list. Did you ever go searching for a job? What is that? What is that website you go to, Don? Indeed.com. I went to Indeed.com one time and spent hours, and I said, "There's not a single job in here that I could do." Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you feel that way. But God bless you. If you have good intentions, He'll give you something to do. So I began, and some of these are obvious. Number one, a prayer warrior. Not everybody can be a prayer warrior. Did you know that? Everybody can pray, but not everybody can be a prayer warrior. To be a prayer warrior, you have to have diligence, determination. We need prayer warriors who will pray warfare-like prayer for our church on a regular basis. We need van drivers. We need van chaperones. You say, "Well, what if too many people sign up?" That's why we have substitute lists. Substitute lists, because even the primaries can't do it every time or every day or every week. Van route builder. You know what? We say, "Where's all the kids? We have these vans, but where are we going to get the kids to put on them?" When I was at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church teaching at their school, I had a bus route. That meant that Debbie and I went out every Saturday. We gave an hour, well, maybe an hour and a half, every Saturday morning, and we went out visiting the bus route. We not only visited the people that normally rode our bus, but every time we went to their door, we says, "Now, what about your neighbor? Who can we go ask them if they'll come? Or do you have a relative that lives in town? May not be on our bus route, but they'll be on somebody else's bus route, and we can give them the contact." Somebody who will go out once a week for an hour, prayerfully, digging for contacts. It's like digging for gold. It's fun. It really is. And when you approach it as if it's a ministry, it can get exciting, because then you realize God's doing this through me. It's not me doing it. God's doing it. And you'll be amazed what happens. You'll find people who say, "Yeah, I'll ride the van. I've been thinking about going to church, but I don't have a way to get there." God will open doors. We need van route builders. God just gave me that title. Assistant, substitute van drivers. Choir members. Mark, where are you? Do we need choir members?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew he was going to say that. We need nursery workers. Now, I might be out of my, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I realize we have people in the church that get the nursery workers and the Sunday school teachers and all. I'm not trying to take your job away from you. I'm just saying this is something you can pray about. Again, if we get too many, we can have a substitute list, or you won't have to do it as often. Debbie and I were children's church, what was that title? Children's church coordinators when we were in Bible college. The church we were attending down in Bowie, Maryland, it was a big church, and it had lots of Sunday school classes, and it was our job to schedule the Sunday school teachers. The children's church teachers. And we had so many volunteers that the children's church teachers only had to teach children's church about once every 3 months. Wouldn't it be great to have that problem? Scheduling nightmare, but it's a great problem to have. Okay. How about this one? A cheer provider. Now, that's not going door-to-door with a box of cheered laundry detergent. That's going door-to-door with a big smile on your face, visiting shut-ins, visiting the elderly. But that's the pastor's job. I mean, if I do that, what's he going to do? Believe me, I'll find something to do. And I'll still be visiting them too, but I wouldn't have to visit them as often if I had some help. Elderly assistant providers, there's people that call me all the time from our church. Pastor, do you know anybody in the church who can give me a ride to the doctor today? I just don't have any way to get there. Or somebody that could just go to the drugstore and pick up a prescription for me. Or Pastor, I really need somebody to come in and paint my front porch. Do you know anybody that could do that? Elderly, if you go around and visit the elderly and just talk to them and befriend them, you will discover things that you can do around their house, maintenance that you can perform, transportation that you can provide. Maybe they just want somebody to take them shopping once a month. Safety security monitor. It keeps coming to my attention constantly that we need help in the sound room. The sound room man's busy. He's got a million buttons back there to watch over. He doesn't have time to keep his eyes glued to the security monitor. We need somebody to sit back there and watch the cameras just to keep our church safe, to lock and unlock the doors at the appropriate times. We need an evangelism team. I was talking about building a bus route much in the same way. Chris Robertson is such an inspiration to me. He's always talking about reaching every home in our neighborhood at least once a year. We used to do that. When I first came here, Waynesboro Bible Church, we had a visitation team on Thursday night, and we knocked on every single door in the surrounding area and most of Waynesboro, Zollinger, Quincy, and what's this out here? Rouserville. But we haven't done that for a long time. Somebody to help with hospital visitation, nursing home visitation. People in the nursing home, they love visits. They love visits, and it's not one of those visits where you can pop in and pop out. It's one of those visits where, oh, don't go. You're such a blessing to me. Stay. Stay a while. And you know, you can spend an hour visiting a person in the nursing home every week. Couple of these I marked urgent. This one I marked urgent. Rescue mission meal coordinator. Now, Yvonne and Lois Rock. I'm sorry, Vivian. Yvonne and Lois, you've been doing this for how many hundred years now? You can't even remember. Okay. Yvonne and Lois told me this last trip to the nursing home that they're getting old. I didn't know that. Did y'all know that? They don't look old to me. But they said they're getting old and they would like somebody else to take over that job. Do you know, folks, listen, I'm serious. If we don't have volunteers to take on coordinating the meal for the rescue mission, we may have to discontinue that ministry. So, I have a list, and it's just beginning. It's going to grow. Jobs are going to be added as we think of them. On the back of the list is a volunteer sign-up sheet. I have two copies of this on the little table underneath of the missionary letters. I have one on the bulletin board, and I have this one up here. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, now I don't want you to do this because, oh, I feel guilty. The pastor put this list of jobs up and somebody's got to do it. And I guess I'm going to have to. I don't want you to sign up if that's your attitude. But if the Holy Spirit's knocking at your door and you're thinking, I can do that, it's a ministry. You're doing it for the Lord, not for the pastor, not for the church. You're doing it for the Lord. Okay? So look over the list. Ask the Lord if He wants you involved. Because the Lord has goals that He wants us to achieve in the ministry that involve building up the church in love. In love. How do we do that? Back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. First of all, till we all come in the unity of the faith, we are to be perfecting the saints, working for the ministry, working, doing the work of the ministry, and edifying the body of Christ until we all come in the unity of the faith. First thing we need to understand there is what Paul means by faith. It's not saving faith. It's not till we all get saved. It's not till we all exercise the gift of faith that God has given to us so that we can believe and then receive the grace of God for salvation. It's not that kind of faith. It's referring to what we believe. It's referring to the doctrine, the sound doctrine that we adhere to. It's referring to the things that we know are true because we study the Bible together. We seek to rightly divide the word of truth. We ask the Holy Spirit for discernment when we teach the truth. And we are a church. We have a doctrinal statement. These are the things we believe. There's a lot of churches that don't have unity in the faith. There's division. There's separation. There's backbiting. There's criticism. It's referring to our convictions. This is where we stand. We all need to be on the same page. We all need to be of the same mind. We are not going to grow unless we are. We are not going to mature unless we are. We are not going to edify the body of Christ in love unless we are in the unity of the faith, unless we agree. We saw in the church of Corinth the disunity, the disharmony, the discord. Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:10, "Now I beseech you, therefore, brethren." There's that word, isn't it? Beseech. Paul loves that word. He uses it often. I beg you as earnestly as I know how. On my knees, I beg you to come alongside of me and join me in this. That's what that word beseech means. Strongest word in the Greek language that you could use here. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. That means that you all agree on the same doctrine. Robert A. Cook, King's College. Am I got the right man? Anyway, Robert A. Cook used to say, he wrote a little book, Know What You Believe. Later on, he came out with a second book, Know Why You Believe. Then he put them together, Know What You Believe and Why You Believe It. That's what we need to do as believers. We need to know where we stand. We need to all be on the same page. I beg you, therefore, brethren, that ye all speak the same thing and listen, that there be no divisions. Amen. No divisions among you. But that ye be, listen, perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And that word judgment simply means in the same opinion, in the same understanding. We understand the Scriptures the same way. We teach the same thing. God's truth is not divided against itself. It's not God's will for there to be divisions in the local body of believers. Disagreements within the church over what we believe will only lead to conflict. And conflict, dear friends, is not what the Lord wants in the church. He wants a church that is running smoothly. Like Mr. Trump says of the government, it's a well-oiled machine. The government needs help, but the church can do much better. Amen. We need to work together like a well-oiled machine, especially when it comes to what we believe, what we teach, what our doctrine is, our faith, unity in the faith. That is a goal that we need to achieve as saints working in the ministry. Secondly, the knowledge of the Son of God. A goal? Yes. Do I know everything there is to know about Jesus? I'm just beginning to scratch the surface. It's a lifelong process, isn't it? Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that word grow is in the perfect present tense, meaning continue growing, constantly growing until you see Him. You're always growing because we won't know Him as He is until we see Him. When we see Him, we will know Him as He is. The kind of knowledge that Paul is speaking here comes through a close and growing closer every day relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, yes, but coming back to what I'm always hammering on, the Word of God and prayer. It comes, the intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ comes by abiding in the Word, staying in the Word. You live in the Word. The Word lives in you. You're constantly meditating on the Word of God, studying it, reading it, memorizing it. I hammer away at this all the time because it's so important. We cannot grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ without the Word of God. Prayer. We need communication. We need to talk to God. We need to listen to the Word of God as He speaks to us. The knowledge of the Son of God. And that's what Paul was yearning for, the knowledge of the Son of God. When he said to the Philippians, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. That's really knowing Christ. When you have fellowship with His sufferings. And when you know the power of His resurrection. People who know Jesus Christ like that are the kind of people that can be a prayer warrior and pray warfare praying. Paul is always praying for the churches that they might know Christ, that they might come to a deeper understanding of Christ. To the Ephesians, right here, go back a page to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, that the God, he's in a prayer here, in the middle of a prayer, and he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in what? The knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may, what? Know. Gnoso, know by experience, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints are. Wow, to know Jesus Christ, it's a lifelong journey. And it's one of the goals that Jesus Christ has for His church, that we might grow in our understanding of Him, growing deep in the knowledge of the Son of God. We won't be finished until we see Him. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him perfecteth himself. And then the third area that is a goal for the Christian worker who is helping to build the church is spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. Until we come, as it says, unto a perfect man, complete, thoroughly furnished, finished, unto a perfect man. And then you could put in parentheses, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What does he mean there? He means very simply, he means that Jesus Christ is the model. We're striving to be just like Him. That's God's goal, that we be like His Son. That when people see us, they see a little bit of Jesus Christ. That's God's great desire for the church, that every believer, without exception, every one of us, would come to be like His Son. Listen to Romans 8:29. I know you know it. Very simple verse. You've known it all your life. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. In other words, even before we were born, even before we were created, before the world was even created, He knew that His desire for you and I would to become just like Jesus, to be like Jesus. Now we're not going to be like Jesus in all of His attributes, but in His character qualities. In His character qualities. That we would be full of grace and truth. That we would be compassionate and full of love. The purest kind of love. That we would be tender and kind. That we would be completely merciful toward one another. That we would be humble. Jesus was a humble servant. That we would be gentle. That we would be wise and understanding. That we would be selfless and serving. And I could go on and on. Now, we'll never be omniscient. We will never know everything there is to know about everything. We will never be omnipresent. We'll never be able to be everywhere at all at the same time. We won't have those kind of character, those kind of attributes. But as far as His character goes, every single one of us, it's God's goal that we are becoming more and more like Jesus. How do I know what He's like? I study His Word. And I spend time with Him in prayer. Oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art, come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image on my heart. Think about this. The church in the world is Jesus Christ. We are Jesus Christ to the world. Or someone else put it this way, for many generations you've heard this expression, your Christian life may be the only Bible many people will ever read. What do we find in the Bible? We find Jesus, Jesus Christ. What the world knows and thinks about Jesus Christ is what they know and think about the church. Ooh. You know what the media thinks about the church. It doesn't have a very good image in the world today, does it? So it really behooves us to go beyond, to abound in work, in ministry, to really shine for Jesus, to really, really let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now I realize that a lot of the image that the world has of the church is a marred image because Satan makes sure that he does everything to try to make the church look bad. I mean, that's just what Satan does. He is an enemy of Christ. He is the prince of the power of the air, all of that. But beyond that, we need to shine for Jesus. We need to be as much like Him as we can. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When they see our face, when they see our countenance, do they see Christ? Do they see His love, His compassion, His mercifulness? Do they see His character qualities? Or do they see a person who calls himself a Christian and doesn't look any different than anyone else? God's goal for the church is Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. And that's one of the works of the saints. That's a work of the saints. And that's why Christians are called to walk even as He walked. 1 John 2:6. Walk as He walked. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Paul says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass, a mirror. We look in a mirror. When we look in the Bible, we're looking in a mirror and we see Jesus Christ. And we all beholding as in a glass, what? The glory of the Lord. As we look into the Bible and we see the glory of the Lord, we are changed. It's the only mirror you can look into, and you don't have to change yourself. It'll change you. Wouldn't it be great to get up and walk in the bathroom and look in the mirror every morning and it shaves your face and it combs your hair and it brushes your teeth? Boy, but that would be an invention, wouldn't it? You could get rich if you got something like that. But when you look into the Word of God, it will change you from the inside out. Praise the Lord. That's why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus as we grow into deeper fellowship with the Lord. The process of divine, here it is, sanctification. Sanctification. God is changing us. He's making us more like Christ and less like the world. Changing us. Sanctification through the Holy Spirit changes us more and more into His image from one level of glory to the next. That's what it means when it says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then, as we grow into deeper fellowship, none of us will ever fully or perfectly reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We will never be perfect as Christ is perfect in this life. It's a lifelong process. God is still working on us. We're under construction. We're not finished yet. But He's still working on us. And we should and can reach a degree of maturity. Listen, what kind of a degree of maturity can we attain to? That which is pleasing to God. That which is pleasing to God. And that which glorifies God. So the goals. The goals of the ministry. Paul said we need to be bringing believers to a place of maturity so that others might see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. He goes on in the next verse, Colossians 1:28, saying, we preach Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That should be our goal as a church. That was Paul's goal for the church. That should be our goal in the church. Warning, don't be like the world. Don't be sucked into the world's image. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. As you yield to Him, that'll happen. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That we may present every man. How is the church going to be presented to Jesus Christ? As a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Wow, what a day that's going to be, amen? It's coming soon. I want to bring our study of verse 13 to a close with a quote by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. He said, the gifted leaders are supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The saints do not call a pastor and pay him to do the work. They call him and follow his leadership as he, through the word, equips them to do the job. The members of the church grow by feeding on the word and by ministering to each other. The first evidence of spiritual growth is Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. We need to see Christ in each other before the world out there will ever see Christ in us. We need to see Christ in each other. Father, thank You for Your good mercy and grace today. To be able to open the Bible, what a privilege. To be able to expound a little bit on the words as I have been given understanding of them, fearfully trusting that I am rightly dividing the word of truth in with every jot and tittle, trusting by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit that I am delivering a message that is clear and distinct and usable, that each and every one of us will grow by the word that's being taught, that we as saints of God will become equipped to do the work of the ministry and not do it as unto men, but to do it as unto God. And Lord, before we bring this service to a close, I would be amiss to say there may be someone here today who needs Jesus to be their Savior. Someone here today who's lost and without hope. If you were to die today, you do not know where you would spend eternity. You're not sure, and you think, I probably would not be in heaven. The Bible's for you. The Bible contains good news. Even though you're a sinner and separated from God, the Bible tells us very clearly that God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent His Son into this world to die in your place, to take your sins and nail them to His cross. God loved you so much, He sent His Son, the Lamb of God, who shed His innocent, sinless blood so that it would be a covering for your sin. And when God looks at you, He looks at you and sees the righteousness of His Son. If you're here today and you need Jesus, call upon Him. Say to Him, Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me and save me. Be my Savior. Our message today, Father, has been toward believers, the church. But the Word of God will be trampled upon and be spoken in vain if we, the saints, do not act upon it. If we come and be hearers of the word only and not doers, we will have wasted our time here. And I pray, dear God, that that will not happen. That we will always take the Bible very seriously, because it is your message to us. Let's listen to it very carefully. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.